As we just sang, we want to be grateful for all that the Lord does for us, including our privilege of assembling today. We're glad to see you. We have visitors with us, and we're delighted to have you. We encourage you to get your Bible and search the Scriptures with us this morning. I want to talk to us for just a few moments about the topic, Wise Men of the Bible. All of humanity may be divided into two groups of people. Do you know what those two groups are? The wise and the foolish. You and I are either in one group or the other. I expect all of us would like to think of ourselves as being wise. But I just wonder what the Lord might think about that. As His Word teaches, would we be deemed by Him to be wise or to be among the foolish? As you think about wise men of the Bible, there are some you might think of. You might think of the wise men of Egypt, for example, Genesis 41 and verse 8. You might think of Joseph, concerning whom Pharaoh said in Genesis 41:39, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." You might think of those who were involved in the construction of the tabernacle, as they were described as those who are wise in several places, like Exodus 31 and in verse 6. "The hearts of all that are wise hearted, that they may make all that I have commanded thee." You might think of the rulers among God's people in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 13, who were said to be wise. "Take you wise men and understanding, and known among your tribes, and I'll make them rulers over you." I expect the man who might come to the top of our list that we might first think of, Solomon. According to 1 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 12, where the Lord said, "I've given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." You might think of Jonathan, David's uncle, 1 Chronicles 27, 32, the wise men of Persia. In Esther 1 and verse 13. The wise men of Babylon in Daniel 2:12. Or wise men who came to Jesus and found him as a child in the house. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 7. When Paul wrote the church at Corinth, one of the problems that plagued this church was a problem over litigations. As they were going to law before the unjust in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in verse 5, Paul said, "I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you?" Then we heard the question in our reading just a few moments ago from James 3 and verse 13. Who is a wise man? What I'd like for us to do in this study is call attention to some wise men of the Bible. These might be some that we might not have thought about in a lot of a while. I want to bring them to our remembrance. The first one I want to bring to attention is the man who hears the Lord's word. Come with me back to the Book of Wisdom. You know what book that is? The book of Proverbs has as its keynote wisdom, as it catalogs wise sayings about practical living, some daily life values from its pages. And in Proverbs 1 and verse 5, Solomon says, "A wise man will," what's the next word? "Hear, and will increase learning." And so as you think about that question that James asked, who is a wise man? Who are among the wise men of the Bible? The man who hears what the Lord has to say. I could not begin to count how many times the Lord, throughout His Word, from beginning to end, appealed to man to hear. Numerous times in the book of Deuteronomy alone, when Moses, the Lord's leader, would say to the Lord's people, "Hear, O Israel." And throughout the ministry of Jesus, He'd often say, "He that hath ears to hear," what's the rest of that? "Let him hear." In Matthew 17, the first five verses, when Jesus was transfigured before His disciples, God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." When Peter began his preaching on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2 and verse 22, he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." The psalmist in Psalm 19 and verse 7 said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure," listen to this, "making wise the simple." And so when you make a list of wise men of the Bible, the man who hears the Lord's word is wise. Does that describe you? Let me give you another example. As you think about wise men of the Bible, the man who goes to the end is wise. Let's go to that for a few moments. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, wise Solomon said, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her wise." Listen to these next three words. "And be wise." You know there's wisdom to be learned from ants? "Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." Let me ask you, you see any ants out today gathering? Why not? They already did that. They were busy in the summer. You know why? Preparing. What are they preparing for? They're preparing for this occasion. What do you learn from that? I learned that I need to not be so lazy. You know, a lot of people are lazy. They're sluggards. They like the door turning on its hinges. Does that ring a bell? When they toss and turn in the bed. The Bible uses that expression. You know why some people don't get a whole lot done? Because they're in the bed. They're sleeping too much. That's one reason. They're lazy. And so, look at an ant next time you have the opportunity. You ever see an ant that's not moving? Just idle. It's probably dead. Because when you observe ants, they're always moving. They're busy. And the reason they're so busy, active, and industrious is because they've got somebody over them cracking a whip. They've got somebody with a goad prodding them along. You need to get to preparing. Winter's coming. Well, they don't have any guide, overseer, or ruler. They're self-starters. They're self-acting. You know, sometimes we don't get anything done unless somebody comes along and they kind of light a fire under us, prod us along. "John, you need to get up. You need to get going." I don't always have somebody to do that for me. You won't either. And so we have to have some initiative about ourselves, don't we? To get up and to get to moving and to get to doing what needs to be done. The Bible says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Ephesians 4 and verse 28. You know, in Proverbs 10 and verse 5, in connection with that Proverbs 6:6 ant message, the Bible says, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth at harvest is a son that causeth shame." So when you make your study of wise men in the Bible, don't forget the man who goes to the ant and considers her ways. Number three, The man who refrains his lips, the Bible says, is a wise man. I expect all of us have lips on us today. And we have a responsibility toward these things. You know what that is? To refrain them. Proverbs 10:19. Listen to these words. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. That tells me I ought not be talking so much. Some people are just yakety-yak, talking all the time. Some people talk so much they develop double chin. One wears out, the other has to take over. What's the rest of this statement? He that refraineth his lips is what? Wise. Wise. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by what? Multitude of words. Do you know how you can identify a fool's voice? A lot of words. Just a multitude of them. So I need to refrain my lips. In fact, in Proverbs 29 and in verse 11, this book says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. You know, you have to be careful about that. There might not be much to utter. Right? One of the ways that we can sin is through our lips. The psalmist said in Psalm 39 and 1, I take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. In fact, I read in history of another culture where they had something called the scold's bridle. That actually put a device on a woman for her talking to keep her from speaking. I got to thinking about some today who might need one of those devices. In James chapter 1 and verse 26, James said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is vain. You know, if we refrained our lips, there'd be less sin when it comes to multitude of words. There'd be less gossip. There'd be less evil speaking. There'd be less lying. There'd be less malice, wouldn't there? If we refrain our lips. And so I need to ask myself, does this describe me? Am I among the wise men of the Bible? You might like to use these as a little checklist and see how we measure up. But another one. We just sang about this man. You know who it is? The man who wins souls. That's based on Proverbs 11:30, where Solomon said, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Wise men are soul winners. And as we sang that song, a soul winner for Jesus. Oh, let me be. Each day. A soul winner for Jesus. Why? He does so much for me. I challenge you to start a list of things the Lord does for you. 1, 2, 3. And by the time you get through with that, you have a wonderful list of reasons for winning souls. Every man has a soul. God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. And his soul is his most valuable possession. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26. Winning souls is bringing folks to Jesus. That's what Andrew did in John 1:40-42. When he found his brother, Simon, Peter, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. That's what Anna did, Luke 1:36-38. When she spake of him, that's Jesus, to those looking for redemption, in Jerusalem. That's what the woman at Jacob's well did, John 4. When she left her water pot, went her way in the city, and said to the men of the city, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? That's what 1 century church members did. In Acts 8:4, when they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The hand of the Lord was with them. A great number believed and turned to the Lord. Acts 11:19-21. That's soul winning. And Solomon said, he that winneth souls is what? Wise. And connect that Proverbs 11:30 statement with one made by Daniel. In Daniel 12:3, here he recorded, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But also, well, another wise man of the Bible is the man who hears his father's instruction. You know, there are two groups of young people. There are those who will hear their father, and there are those who don't. There might be some who think, well, he's just too old-fashioned. He don't know what he's talking about. And then there are those who recognize that he's got some age that I don't have and experience and wisdom and maturity about him that I can learn from. And then Proverbs 13:1, Solomon said, a wise son, what's the rest of that? Hears his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. You don't want to be a scorner. So you got a difference here between a wise man and a scorner. What's the difference? That's right here. In Proverbs 15:20, he continues, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Some parents may be filled hearts with gladness because of children who respect and honor and obey. And others, a failure to be glad and deprived of gladness and hearts bowed with sorrow because of those who don't. You know, it's an old command. Exodus 20, repeated in the New Covenant, Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents, the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. If we want things to be well with us, and to do some things that can add years to our lives, we need to see the importance and value of hearing our father's instruction. It's good to seek advice. What do you think about this? How'd you handle that? What are your thoughts? And to listen to that. But also, 6. I want to talk to you about the man who walks with wise men. Did you know that one of the wise men of the Bible is a man who associates himself with other wise people? Turn now to Proverbs 13 and read with me what is stated in verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You see how that word walk is used? It's in the sense of a companion. We are people that often desire to be companions with people. We like to have comrades. We have association. We have friends. And it makes a difference as to who I walk with, who I have as my companions. You know, in Proverbs we just read, shows the value of walking with wise men, but in 1 Corinthians 15:33, you see the opposite of that. When Paul warned in concerning false teaching about the resurrection, be not deceived. That is, don't fool yourself. Don't be misled to believe something that's not true. That evil communications corrupt good manners or good morals. And that's true. So if I get to thinking, well, it doesn't make any difference who I walk with or who I have communication with or who my companions are or who I'm friends with. It's not going to influence me. It's not going to have any bearing on me. I'm deceiving myself. I'm trying to make myself believe something that's not true. He said, be not deceived. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you can walk with whoever you want, run with whoever you please, and it's not going to rub off on you. It does. If you want to be wise, associate with people who are wise. And you want to know some wise men? We're making a list of them right here. These are the kind of people I need to choose as my close companions to be with, to help me. You know, iron sharpeneth iron, the Bible says. And so the people that we're with, they can either make us better or they can corrupt us. I've known situations where there were some good young people. They got in, somebody set the wrong crowd. That's where they went wrong. That's what happened to them. And so we've got to watch the crowd that we get along with or go along with. The Bible talks about not following a multitude to do evil. And some who might say, come go with us, and the book says don't consent. Just say no. I'm not going. I'm not going to do that. One of the first ladies launched a campaign on that word, that phrase. Just say no. When it came to drugs. And there are lots of ways in which we just need to have the courage to say, no, not going to go. So who are you walking with? Who's your friends? Are they wise? Let me give another example. Number 7. The wise man of the Bible, one of them anyway, is the one who fears and departs from evil. You know, just as all of humanity can be divided into two groups of people, wise and foolish, everything can be divided into two categories, either good and evil. It's always been that way. Just like when in the Garden of Eden, there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2:16. And in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16, we are taught, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. What's a wise man do? He fears, first of all. Fears. You know, one of the expressions that describes those of sin in Romans chapter 2 and 3, you know what that is? There is no fear of God before their eyes. That pretty well describes a lot of people in our society. No fear. In fact, there's statements like that, that people have it posted on their vehicle. They're proud of the fact they don't have any fear. No fear. No fear. No, that pretty well describes a lot of people when it comes to God. No fear of God. No respect for God. And that's the whole of man. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Everything stems from that. He is worthy of fear. He's worthy of reverence. Who He is, what He's done, all that He does and will do. Fear. That's reverence. That's respect. Stand in awe of Him. And my respect for God ought to cause me to depart from evil. And the fear of knowing what will happen to me if I don't. You know, you ought to think about that. You have some fear before you out here. There's peril. You're headed down a path. You know where it's leading. You know what the end result is. It ought to cause you to be afraid. Think, man, I need to straighten. I need to turn around where I'm headed. You have some fear before your eyes to cause you to wake up and to straighten up, to depart from it. You know, the Bible talks about abstaining from evil and, in fact, all appearance of evil. And clinging to that which is good. Peter talked about that in 1 Peter chapter 3. He said in verse 10, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It goes right along with that idea of fearing and departing from evil. Some people don't have any fear. They just go headlong into evil without thinking about the consequences. Live for the day. no thought about the world to come. But also, as you make your list of wise men of the Bible, the man who keeps the law. God's always expected his people to keep his laws. That's true of the first people. He said, in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. They didn't keep his law, going to be a penalty. Always a penalty attached to the violation of God's law. They didn't keep the law. They paid the price. Genesis 3. Driven out of the garden, other consequences that came as well. The book of Deuteronomy is an appeal to the people to keep the law over and over. Keep the commandments. Oh, that there was such a heart in my people, God said, that they'd keep my commandments always, that it might be good for them and their children. And in the book of Proverbs, chapter 28 and in verse 7 this time, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. All this goes together, doesn't it? All this connects and ties together. We just talked about those who would be a companion of riotous men. You can't keep the law and not fear and do evil. See how that connects? Now, in the Old Testament, God's law was that which descended from the mountain. That was Mount Sinai. And there were Ten Commandments, and that's kind of the hub of the will, and all the other ordinances and precepts were the spokes, if you will. In the New Covenant, we have a new law. It's called the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25. We're under law to Christ, 1 Corinthians 9:21. We're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. And we need to be determined to keep it. Remember how the man is described in James 1:25? As the one who looks into the law and keeps it, he's a blessed man. He's a doer. And we need to be about that. But also, number 9. Do you know there are so many wise men in the Bible? Here's another one. The man who hears and does what the Lord says. In the mountain sermon, Matthew chapters 5 through 7, when Jesus taught from a mountaintop, he closed his sermon with the appeal to do. Matthew 7, beginning verse 21. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then he represented the individual who hears the Lord's word but doesn't do it to a foolish man that builds his house on the sand. Storm comes, rains fall, winds beat. What happens? House falls. Why? Not built on a rock. Didn't have a good foundation. On the other hand, he represents the individual who hears his word and does it as a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The storms come and the house stands. Why? It's built on a good foundation. That's not just telling you when you build your house, you need to have a good foundation, though that's important. But spiritually, I build my house on a rock when I hear and do what the Lord says. It's not enough just hear. We're not to be hearers only, but doers. James 1:25 through 27. And so many people, it goes in one ear and out the other. That's as far as it goes. Hear and do. Blessed are they that do his commandments. John said, Revelation 22 and verse 14. Another one. Number 10. Is the man who is prepared or ready for Christ's coming? You remember the parable of 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25? You know they're divided into two groups of people. Five were wise and five were foolish. The difference in one word, ready. The foolish took the lamps but didn't take any oil. Wouldn't that be foolish? And at midnight there was a cry made, "The bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." They all rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." You know what? You can't borrow preparation. You can't borrow readiness. You can't give it to somebody else. The wise answered, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came. You can't buy it either. You can't borrow it and you can't buy it. You can just make it while you have the opportunity. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. A shut door is a closed opportunity. Matthew 25:10. They said, "Lord, Lord, open to us." He said, "I know you not." What's all that about? He said, verse 13, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Christ will come, just like that bridegroom, at an unexpected time. And so we ought to always be ready. Who's a wise man? Those who are ready for the Lord's coming. Are you ready? You got oil in your vessel? Your lamp trimmed? If not, you need to get that straightened out. You need to get the preparation that you need to make. You prepare by hearing the Lord's word, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sins as commanded by the Lord, making the changes that need to be made that you might be in a proper relationship with God. Confess your faith in the Son of God. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins and be faithful unto Him. Be faithful. What's it mean to be faithful? You have an automobile. You go out to start it. 4 days out of the seven, it starts. 3 days, it doesn't. Is it faithful? I wouldn't say so, would you? Huh? What about your furnace? You can kind of depend on it this time of year, don't you? It runs about 2 or 3 days a week. Others, it can't depend on it. Is it faithful? No. That's about how we are. We think we're faithful when it comes to serving the Lord. The Lord said, "Be faithful unto death." Revelation 2:10. "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15:58. And then when the Lord comes, we won't have to be knocking on the door. "Lord, let me in. Let me in." No. And hear Him say, "I know you not." Some of the saddest words ever spoken or will ever be heard. So ask yourself, now ask mine. Am I the wise man? Do these describe me? Do I hear the Lord's word? Do I go to the ant and consider her ways? Am I industrious or lazy? What about my lips? Do I refrain them? Am I carefulness of what I say and how I say it? Am I a soul winner? Do I bring folks to Jesus? What's my attitude toward my Father and His instruction? Who are my friends? Who am I keeping company with? Am I walking with wise men? Do I have fear? Do I depart from evil? Do I keep the law? Do I hear and do what the Lord has to say? Am I prepared for His coming? Need to make any changes? From the foolish category to the wise, we're here to help you. Won't you come now? We'll stand and sing.